is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The U.S. economy, the global economy. I welcome Liz Peek, a columnist at The Hill at Fox News, much on Fox Business. The meeting with the Federal Reserve resolves to raise interest rates 0.75 point in July, in addition to the 0.75 point in June. Now the markets look to the next meeting in 6 weeks. Will there be more necessary in order to tame the price instability, a.k.a. inflation? Liz, a very good evening to you. Jerome Powell's remarks following the decision of the Federal Board of Governors were helpful to me to understand some of the tools that the Federal Reserve believes it has in order to maintain price stability and to maintain a credible jobs number, a credible employment number in the U.S. I want to start with forward guidance. I believe I heard the chairman, Mr. Powell, say that he was no longer going to provide, or they were no longer going to provide, forward guidance. What struck me as unusual is that Ben Bernanke has a new book about how he weathered the 2008 Great Recession. And one of the tools he recommended, along with QE and being less than clear sometimes when you talk to Congress, one of the tools was forward guidance. What was that now that they're no longer using it? And what does it mean that they're not going to tell us where they're headed? Good evening to you, Liz.
Good evening, John. Well, I think you have to accept Powell's removal from the forward guidance business as kind of a white flag that basically he and others, to be sure, in the administration and elsewhere, were so wrong about inflation and have been so widely mocked for getting it wrong, calling it transitory, way underestimating how substantial it was going to be as the months went by, that they don't want to get caught in that trap again. I think that's actually true. I also think, being fair-minded, that we're at an inflection point in the economy. I think Powell is not sure which way we're going to be going forward. And so I think he's really reluctant to say, you know, we're going to be raising rates aggressively, because already we see signs, obviously the second quarter being a down quarter amongst them, that we're in a recession or on the cusp of a recession, however you want to define it. Obviously, the Biden administration does not want to define their tenure as presiding over a recession. But the reality is, I've gone back and looked to the 1940s. We've never had two down quarters that was not deemed a recession. So it's a little silly, this word game that's being played. But I would just say that Powell obviously faces a whole lot of uncertainty. It's not clear how much his 75 basis point back-to-back increases is going to slow the economy. And there's a lot of data coming in showing that it is slowing. I mean, people aren't just sort of making that up. It's not like this. Well, for example, we just had the ISM report from manufacturing, and new orders were sharply lower. Inventories way too high. You and I have talked about inventories a lot over the last couple of years, because companies have misjudged demand. They've misjudged their ability to fill demand, and that inventory number has gone all over the place. And in the second quarter, one of the reasons that the administration, the White House, is poo-pooing a down quarter is because they say, well, it was inventory adjustment. Keep in mind, inventory adjustment happens for a reason. Inventories are too high because demand does not come through the way you thought it was going to. So I think Powell is just sensibly realizing that he has not a very good handle on what's going on, and there are a lot of moving pieces to that right now. But I would say this, forward guidance is a very, very important tool for the Federal Reserve Chair, and we've already seen that because, in fact, expectations about interest rates started to move up before interest rates did. And you remember that. I mean, it was the expectation that the Fed was going to react to rising inflation. They made that clear in their forward guidance. And so markets, if monetary policy changes take a year to be felt in the economy, forward guidance can be felt within a matter of weeks, because interest rates start to rise and they start to do your job for you. So when mortgage rates, for example, went up very dramatically in a matter of weeks. All of a sudden, housing, one of our biggest sectors, is now in decline. And that is obviously if the Fed is actually trying to slow the economy. That was a very quick response and a very effective one. So I think he's leaving one of his major tools on the table. You know, maybe in the next meeting, he'll pick that one back up again, realizing that he needs it. But I think it's a combination of significant uncertainty and basically just sort of not being able to foretell what the future holds, even though it's just a few weeks away.
I believe I also heard the chairman say that there was an acceptable level of unemployment, that he was the governors are going to concentrate on price stability. And at some point, we have very low unemployment now, but at some point that he's expecting that to rise. And I'm struck by that because it's a very gentle way of saying we don't have an understanding of who's going to be hurt in this present slowdown. Did you hear it otherwise? Does he know where there's, because we have statistics from Silicon Valley. There are either job freezing at the growth in the growth companies, Meta, Google, Microsoft, or they're not hiring. Did you understand that he was talking about other sectors that were going to see unemployment?
Well, I think his comments about the labor market reflected the White House view that the labor market is so tight, and that's their one great achievement economically since Biden took office in 2021, that they've created a lot of jobs, the job market is very tight. And I think Powell was more or less assuming that that was going to stay that way. I read him as saying, jobs are fine, inflation is our number one issue, that's what we're going to focus on. And to your point, there are signs that the job market is weakening a little bit. Yes, big tech is laying off people. Meta just announced last week that they also were going to be laying off people. Oracle, Google, a whole lot of these companies have either stopped hiring or have started to lay off workers. The auto companies have announced certain layoffs. Retail, I think, is just a heartbeat away from starting to lay off people because demand is slowing. So I think we're going to see the job market begin to soften, but from a very strong position. So I don't think Powell has to worry about that right away, but I do think we are looking at, I think we're at a tipping point. I was reading this morning, hours worked, according to some organization that tracks 100,000 small businesses, declined 12% in July. I've read other similar indications that the demand for labor is beginning to weaken a little bit. And by the way, the ISM number kind of points to that as well. I think we're going to see that, but I think it's right now, I think Powell is terrified that they are truly behind the curve. They don't want to go to 10% interest rates or something really draconian to squash inflation. I don't think they're going to have to, because they're going to get some positive news on energy and some other commodities, making the numbers look better over the next couple of quarters. But I think he just wants the markets to be aware that the number one job right now is to bring down that 9% inflation rate, and he'll do whatever it takes. You know, we'll see if he follows through.
And other tools that the Federal Reserve has, the QE, I believe they've stopped buying bonds. Is that correct? They've stopped.
Finally.
Yes. And they're now going to put them back on the market. That's logical if they do that. But of course, that also is going to cause some disruption to have that scale. I don't know if the bond market is going to react negatively. As of right now, there seems to be a calm on the markets, Liz. Isn't it? It's a strange calm. The bears don't like it.
Well, it's a calm after many months of the worst bond market in a long, long time. So, you know, we'll see. I don't think the Fed is being as transparent on this aspect as they are on interest rates. I think that's normally the case. And I think it took them far, far too long to stop the buying of, for example, mortgage-backed bonds when housing prices were going through the roof. Someday they'll have to explain to me why 6 months went by while they were still doing that. I don't know the reason. And so I do need to start deleveraging the Fed's balance sheet. The pace of that, we shall see. I think they have to be very concerned, to your point, about rocking these markets because the markets are a little fragile here.
And the price of gasoline, it has ebbed some, the administration tells us. I agree. It is still elevated in driving season, and there's no reason to believe that it's going to be eased by anything extraneous. We're not going to get a new supply. I don't believe Saudi Arabia has made any indication that it's going to pump more oil or even that it can pump more oil. And so we have the end of the driving season to ease the price of gasoline. Is that something that is going to help the Federal Reserve with its inflation gold, that the gas
absolutely costs? Absolutely, but it's not just gasoline. I think oil in general, you know, has come down. And let's think about why. First of all, there was real panic in the market with the thought that cutting off Russian gas exports was going to really cause a supply shortage. It didn't really, because they found ways around that. Russia's revenues may have been ticked down a little bit because they weren't getting the prices that they wanted, but the truth is they're exporting oil. Number two, China has seen a real drop in its oil imports. And the number was close to 2 million barrels a day, less than their normal import level in the last month. That is a huge change. That's like another big field coming on somewhere that's producing 1 million to 1.5 million barrels a day. So China, I think, is undervalued as a variable here. But obviously, a slowing Chinese economy has been great for bringing oil prices down. And by the way, U.S. oil production has gradually inched back up. It's not to where it was before the pandemic, but it's getting closer. It's certainly up. I think last I looked, it was up like 900,000 barrels a day from a year ago. So that's not a straight line, but it is helpful. So that we do have OPEC Plus is meeting pretty soon. I suspect when oil prices where they are now, you're not going to see any big announcements of output increases. And yes, you're right. We're not even sure they can do it.
Liz Peek is a columnist at The Hill, a columnist at Fox News, much on Fox Business, addressing the U.S. economy, but we're attached globally to the Asian economy and to the European economy, and Europe's in trouble when we come back. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.